The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to carry, and lay them on other people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one Father in heaven. Do not be called Master. You have but one Master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus saw how far the leaders of the church, the Jewish religion, he saw how far they had strayed, and he saw that they needed a reset. I was reading a reflection by a priest, and I'm going to read this first in my homily today. And he writes, "Our readings are reminiscent of a now famous saying by Oscar Romero. A church that doesn't provoke any crisis, a gospel that doesn't unsettle, a word of God that doesn't get under anyone's skin, a word of God that doesn't touch the real sin of the society in which it is being proclaimed. What gospel is that? In a time like the present, it is too easy to look at the world around and feel defeated. This defeat can turn into cynicism if left unchecked. Anyone who picks up the paper today will find tragedy enough to question their faith or to think that God remains unmoved by the world's burdens. Today's readings expose how tempting it is to adopt an unhealthy and cynical tone towards these domestic and global burdens. God's opening tone in the book of Malachi is the antidote to this. I love you." If one allows those three words to sink in, they can unsettle the complacency that too easily settles into our society and our individual hearts. May we cooperate with God's tone of love. After all, you have but one teacher, and you are all brothers and sisters. The climate of the gospel today was a difficult time. It is not unlike today when we try to figure out how Jesus fits into all of this. The Hebrew people, they were occupied by the Romans, right? There were Roman soldiers. There was a Roman governor assigned to their land. And the Romans had appointed a figurehead king named Herod. Now, it's not the same Herod that was where Jesus, when he was born. They were all ruthless and cruel people. The Herod at the time of Jesus is the one that had all the children killed that were 2 years of age or younger, in case it might be Jesus. But the Herod at the time of Jesus and John the Baptist having his being beheaded and all that, the time of Herod, when I was in the Holy Land one time, I did a bit of a study. Because he has all these palaces and he has all these fabulous places that he built on the backs of all the people. King Herod was a Jew, but King Herod was in cahoots with the Roman governor. He was appointed by them. So there was this conflict between the people. It was confusing to the people. How can our Jewish king be so in collaboration with our occupying Roman soldiers? And then add to that the mix, this confusing presence of the Pharisees and the scribes, because King Herod was the Jewish leader in charge, and they wanted to get everything they wanted from him. So they were in collaboration with him. It's kind of like we might see today, the church needs to not get involved in all the politics of the day. We need to stay beyond all of that, because as soon as you start to introduce anything political into your teaching or into your example, people get confused and you give bad witness. When people say one thing and do another, that's what's called hypocrisy. And Jesus was constantly calling out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees because they wanted to play the game on both teams. He says to them, he says, they have taken their seat on the chair of Moses, and because of Moses, do and observe everything they tell you to do, but do not follow their example. They preach what they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens and put them on other people's shoulders, and they don't lift a finger to help them. Everything they do is to be seen. They love places of honor. They love standing on street corners. They love special treatment. This is exactly the kind of clericalism that Pope Francis is constantly talking about, where he says you must never consider, to priests, you must never consider yourself above or better than anybody. And if anything, you must be the servant of all. Now, where did Pope Francis get those words? Right here in the gospel today. Whoever is great among you must be the servant of all, because that is where the example of Christ is found. It's this lesson that Jesus wants. He wants to exalt humility. If you look at the history of religions from the beginning, Adam and Eve, what was the major sin? It was a lack of humility. It was pride. And every century since, we find that kind of lack of humility causing all kinds of schisms in the church, all kinds of conflict, scandal, disorder, sinfulness, because pride is at the heart of all of it. What Jesus says today is, the greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. I also wanted to say today that we're leaving this afternoon at 1 o'clock to go on our parish pilgrimage to Portugal and Spain. And I don't know if you've ever been to Portugal and Spain. We're going to start off in Fatima. And we're going to go from cathedral to cathedral to cathedral. I know it sounds kind of boring. There was one year that we didn't have a full bus, and the tour company that we've never used since added a bunch of people to the bus who just happened to be Baptist. And they were so sick of us stopping to say Mass everywhere we went, but that's what we do, right? I have a special booklet set up for all the different saints that we're going to celebrate, all these different feast days that we're going to observe. It's not just going to be ordinary time, 31 and 32, for us on pilgrimage. But I want to let you know that we're going to pray for all of you and your intentions every day. So if you want to just pause for a moment, call to mind your most important intention. I don't need to know what it is, but if you tell God, whenever I say at Mass, now for all the intentions at St. Bernadette, God's going to know what you want, what you're asking for. So just pause for a moment and think about that, and know that we will be praying for you throughout our trip, and we hope that you're praying for us as well.